Harry's.com, your source for smooth. And smooth is the perfect word because that's what I feel after I shave with Harry's razors.
And put some of that aftershave on.
You know that I've been a two-pump, and I've been even a three-pump man on that aftershave.
You know, I've actually found that I've started to use three pumps now. I use only a two-pump, but I like it so much, I'll actually do my face.
Yeah.
And then the leftover, I do my arms.
Scott, you know.
Do you do the arms?
Now that you've admitted it, I've put it on my arms too.
Hey, so we have an exciting contest. We talked about it at one of our previous podcasts, but we want to make it official. We're doing the Harry's Challenge. What is that, Don?
Well, you know, you'd shave for a week with your standard razor on your left side of your face, and then on the right side of your face, you shave with Harry's.
Well, how do you get the Harry's razor, Don?
You can go to your mailbox and just hope, Scott. That's one way.
It may be a while. you may grow a beard waiting for that.
There's a better way, and that is to go to harrys.com and look through their great selection and put in TRN coat and have an amazing discount.
You can get a shaving kit. Their economy package with the discount is only going to cost you $10,
including shipping. Now, we have told you about some great products in the past. You'd need to use this Harry's razor.
So once you do the challenge, you're going to do it for how long?
1 week.
1 week, left side traditional razor, right side Harry's razor, and then you're going to post something on social media. And then at the end of March, our panel of judges,
you
which
and
includes
I.
Don and myself, we will pick the most creative social media post, and we will send a friend or whoever you designate, we will send them a Harry's package, a Harry's kit, and send you some razor blades and some of that luscious lotion.
You can treat yourself to a three-pump morning. And I know I stand a little bit taller on three pump mornings.
Do you put it on when you don't shave? The mornings you don't shave?
No, because there isn't a morning I don't shave.
Really?
I mean, if it's morning,
you shave every morning?
Well, I didn't used to, but since Harry's, I do.
Because Harry's is more than shaving; it's fun.
It's a lifestyle, Scott.
So again, it's harrys.com. The code you want to enter is TRN.
$10 gets you the shave of your life. Tailwind Nutrition.
You know, they are as much of the trail running community as the dirt.
That's the dirt? Or a marker.
Or a buckle.
Tailwind Nutrition. It's just part of who we are as the trail running community.
If you are one of the few that is hearing about Tailwind Nutrition for the first time, or you've heard about it and you haven't tried it, what's wrong with you?
You know, AJW has a race coming up, and he uses Tailwind Nutrition at his aid stations.
They are everywhere. They've just exploded. And why is that, Don?
Because they're the best, Scott.
It works.
Oh, that, yes.
It has electrolytes. It has some calories that are very easily absorbed, so you don't get the gut bombs that cause you that nauseousness.
And it's just plain good.
It tastes good.
Yep.
So go to Tailwind Nutrition, get yourself some of the single serving packets, or get yourself some of the 25 serving packs.
Scott, I'm going to order some green tea as soon as we are done with this segment because it is my favorite, and I've just taken my last scoop.
Yikes. How did that happen?
I didn't order soon enough. Don't let that happen to you.
Go to tailwindnutrition.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
This might be one of the most interesting podcasts ever.
Oh, that's what you're doing. There's a bunch of like old brothel hookers like buried out here.
No, I've listened to your podcast for many years, and it's yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do own my own bar. every Friday morning on I Run Far, we open up and the taps.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott Warr.
Andy Jones Wilkins.
And I'm Don Freeman, and I am here at a round table, and we are bringing Andy Jones Wilkins in straight from some hard rock training. He's back in West Virginia. Is that where are you located?
Please, Virginia.
North Carolina? Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
We actually had him do some wind sprints up the stairs just to make sure that he was in shape.
And let me tell you, he has across the table from me is Robert Rhodes, and he's been on in the past. He is part of Trails in Motion, a series of short films that's really touring the entire country.
A film festival.
Yeah. We're going to get into that.
It's a festival of film.
And Miles Smythe is to my right, and he is going to be talking a little bit about his featured film that he has created called This Is Your Day, the story of inspiration, endurance, and devotion. And I'm
You had me at endurance.
Me too. So welcome to our guests. Say hello, Robert.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
And Miles, let's hear what you sound like so we can all put a voice to the characters here.
Thanks for having us here, guys.
Absolutely.
Miles is a lucky fella.
How's that?
Because he lives on the Western States course.
Mm.
At one of the aid stations.
Which mile marker?
56, approximately, in Michigan Bluff.
Michigan Bluff. Now, that's a good place, and good for us to know. Which hose can we lean into on some training days?
I got a nice hose bib facing to the north side, yeah.
Do you put anything above it so that we can kind of distinguish that it's runner-friendly?
Not yet, but...
How about a belt buckle of some kind?
Ooh.
I got to earn the Western States one first. So my neighbors have so many, they put them into little statue monuments on the street.
I've seen that.
I don't have that many in my, you know... Underwear doors.
I have seen that monument.
Well, what we could do is just get some flour and point an arrow towards the hose bib on the ground.
That sounds good. Hey, let's get into this discussion about movies and about trail running and about community and into that subtitle that caught your eye at endurance. And let's kind of dig into those words, inspiration, endurance, and devotion, Scott.
You know, we were just talking before we hit the record button about... You know, it was probably what was the first movie that you ever saw about trail running, Don?
I saw Something Up to the Soul, and it was featured Gordy Ainsley.
Race to the Soul.
What was it, Andy Jones Wilkins?
It was a KQED.
My first was Desperate Dreams, though. So, but you're talking about Race for the Soul from the 2001 race.
Yeah, back then there were only just a handful, one or two that were around. And now you start seeing there are just more and more every year. Trails in Motion got started, four years ago, Robert?
Yes, we're in our fourth year right now. And sure, this tour has grown to, over 30 countries. We're doing probably about 130 cities. I manage mostly all of Northern California, some other parts outside. It's this huge... part now of our community, and you can see it, having films before a race. I mean, how inspirational can that be? That's just great. After a race.
It's a great way, instead of carb loading, to go watch a movie and eat some popcorn, right?
I'd say so.
How many movies are in this year's tour?
This year we're touring with seven.
See,
films.
I think that is amazing. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon of how these films have become popular and more popular. There's so many movies to go out and see now about trail running.
And speaking of that first one that was out there, I think that really brought me into an introduction to the community. I mean, you bumped into a few people out on the trail, but to see that movie, I really got an idea of the broadness and the fact that what I was seeing on a one-off was really the whole community. And it really pulled me into the sport.
Sure.
So I have a question for Miles. Miles's movie is going to be in this year's tour. How did you decide? Are you in filmmaking? Is that your job?
Yes, my full-time job is a photographer and filmmaker.
Oh, okay. So why did you decide I'm going to take all this time and effort and make a movie or a film about trail running? Where did you get that inspiration?
Well, the beginning stages of that would be when I moved to Michigan Bluff in 2012. I had just participated in the Western States Endurance Run in June of 2012, and 2 days later I moved to Michigan Bluff. I didn't finish the race, okay. So I'd like to say I never left the trail.
Okay, so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You participated. 2 days later, you're living on the trail.
Yes. Well, I was supposed to technically get the keys before, but it.
Well, I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time at Michigan Bluff in 2013.
But like you may have pulled up residency.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent too much time there.
So, as an ultra runner, as a trail runner. I kind of been dabbling. I mean, I'd been in photography for like a decade, but I'd been mostly doing like landscape photography. But mm-hmm. being in Michigan Bluff and on these trails, I just had inspiration everywhere. And so I just started to focus on trail running photography. And I decided at one point that I was going to specialize. And I started a company, Michigan Bluff Photography, February of 2013. And yeah, the emphasis was just specializing in trail running specifically. So that's just, yeah, like 90% of my work has been about running, whether it's road or trails, just kind of happened.
Yeah, I've seen some of your photography. It's great. Yeah, Michigan Bluff photography. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some great photos.
Andy Jones-Wilkins, you've been around the sport for a little while. What do you attribute to this phenomenon of more trail running films becoming kind of the norm or kind of the
status quo?
Status quo.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I'd like to say is that Miles did an amazing job. And that's a good story about 13, because the photos that he produced in my last two Western states, which were 13 and 14, were just amazing. He found the right spots, like on Pucker Point, and just produced some amazing photos that I know are all over the place. And I mean, I hadn't seen Western states photos like that, you know, except for the Joe McClatty kind of. Mm-hmm. Classic Western States photos since Dan Patitucci was there back in 2004 and 2005. So, I mean, maybe Miles is our next generation Dan Patitucci, which is not an insult at all because Dan's an outstanding photographer. I think the video phenomenon is just because it's so easy. I mean, frankly, you know how easy it is to fire off a video now and you can put it out there for anybody to see. I think it's engaging. And I think, let's face it, trail runners by nature, but between the time they're running and sleeping and eating, they kind of have some downtime to sit around and do stuff and they want to be inspired, and then they get injured and they want to be inspired again. So I think it's wonderful. And what's I think the interesting sweet spot about this is your day. You know, this is a 52-minute film. I think that's awesome. I think we're seeing a lot of like these 8 to 12 minute things, and mm-hmm. you're not really sure what to do with them. And you see these 20 minute things that are almost infomercials for, you know, a company that funds it. What I like about this film in particular, what I'm excited to bring to Charlottesville next week, is that it's going to be a full hour. You know, we're going to have beer before and food, and then a couple of Western States finishers that might be hanging around to talk about the race afterwards. So I think that's a sweet spot that Miles and Robert have found with this film. And they also caught a great three people, you know, with Rob, Caroline, and Carl. So, I mean, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that makes a big, you know, that's, you catch lightning in a bottle when you get the right people. And think back to Unbreakable with J.B. Benn's film. I mean, if he didn't land in the right spot,
that
to
was
pick
lightning.
Those,
lightning
to,
struck.
To chase those runners down that trail. That was a fantastic, and I think really helped fuel some of the success that we see now with mm-hmm. Miles and Robert as they're out there showing films and creating them, because that was definitely the genre that we love to see. Mm-hmm. And since then, there seems to be more of them.
Well, I think, yes, too, AJW, yes, the star power, too, that some of these films have these days. You know, with the technology that we have available to us, the cameras that we use, you know, you can see some pretty gritty stuff that still turns out to look pretty decent if you go online and watch some of these films, say, like on Vimeo or YouTube. But the star power is huge, and the three that we have in This Is Your Day, Rob Carrar, of course, mm-hmm. and Carolyn Bowler and Carl, I mean, yeah, that just adds just a huge, huge pop to this film.
Let's talk. I got a chance to see, because you gave us a preview to take a look at this film, and some of the views that you have in there, I mean, it doesn't look like a low-budget film. You've got over
pull back from a helicopter.
He has a little bit of a drone, I think. You have a drone.
We're using a drone, yeah.
It looks like you have a helicopter and a team of people. That's what it looks like to me. But you're using some drones.
Yeah, so the idea for my mindset is to take whatever budget we're given and just make the most out of it. And, I mean, if it was running 100 miles with a film, I want to run 1,000 miles, but with camera gear and take it to any distance. So, yeah, we had two drone shots in the film, and kind of touching on what Andy was saying earlier, I mean, I took a drone operator who's not a runner. I drove him out to Pucker Point. Well, we drove to Dusty Corners and hiked to Pucker Point and then hiked down to Swinging Bridge, and it was like a 10-mile day for him, and so many thousand, 1,000 or two of gain, and like 100 degrees out there. So it was like I had to do that for two shots.
Yeah.
And to me, it was, phenomenal shots. It was worth every effort.
And very clear, too. I mean, it looks HD quality. I mean, I was really surprised.
Oh, yeah, it was filmed in 4K.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, one of the things I like about this film and some of the others, like Unbreakable, is it gives us a little glimpse behind the curtain to not only the personalities that we see out there. And most of these athletes are very, very approachable anyway. We're that kind of a community. But I think it pulls back the curtain and lets us have a little bit better idea of their training, their attitude. I would have never thought, I got out of this film that Rob Krar is a pretty calm guy. He doesn't get amped up for the race.
Very mellow.
And I think in the film it said the only time he really gets amped up is the drive from the hotel to the starting line.
Well, the drive from Flagstaff, like they have this routine that they kind of do every year, and so they would drive from Flagstaff and kind of do like a road trip all the way to Squaw. And so that's when his wife Christina mentions that she starts to see the nervousness.
Yeah, but it kind of gets you. You feel at the end that you kind of know these people, and that's kind of neat. I like that a lot. I like to think that Jeff Rose would be my friend if I knew him, from Unbreakable. I think that he would want to hang out with me.
And there's a few
maybe go not. Camping with you. Huh?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't.
That must be the best spot.
What's that?
I'm glad you think that.
Okay, part of these films, like you watch Unbreakable, and it's this competition. It's for the win. It's, and then you compare it to This Is Your Day, and you're talking about pulling back the curtain. Now you're also starting to see crew.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see
family,
how important crew and family becomes as part of your race.
The other thing that for me, I saw Unbreakable before I ran Western States, and it kind of gives you an idea of what can happen, that even these top athletes can have bad days.
Bad sections.
Or bad sections. And
then all of a sudden,
back.
Surge.
Right. And what was the first film that you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast?
Race for the Soul.
Race for the Soul was another one where it followed not just the elite athletes, it followed some of the mid-packers and a lady that I can't remember didn't finish
with
that.
Like eight DNFs in a row, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, there was her, but the lady that also at the very end, and you might know this, Andy Jones Wilkins, she was racing the clock but didn't make it.
Yeah.
And she was on the road through Auburn, and you just felt your heart just go, oh, no.
And so it kind of gives you an idea of some of the expectations you could run into as you're running a race yourself, and gives you that permission to have a bad day and know that you don't, that doesn't have to define your day. A bad section doesn't have to define the race is what I'm trying to say.
What do you think, Andy Jones Wilkins? Do you think that all these movies have really helped us draw closer as a community, become better runners, or do you think it's inviting and bringing in people that otherwise wouldn't be there and maybe shouldn't?
I think This Is Your Day. I think This Is Your Day pushed the envelope a little bit, maybe without even trying, and in a positive way. And that is particularly with the story of Carl, as a Western States board member, and now in his fiance, Erica Lindland, and they own Ultra Running Magazine. And that you kind of captured a story there, Miles, when she passed him at Robinson Flat. Yes. And you played it down in the movie, obviously, but she ended up finishing in the top 10 and is a great runner in her own right. And so I mean, it's not something that's in the film, but if you're like an overly analytical guy like me, you're seeing the husband, the soon-to-be husband with kids from his first marriage, kind of in the decline of his ultra running career, and you're seeing the new soon-to-be spouse in the ascendancy of her career, and it's a little bit of a microcosm of the sport. And that wasn't your intent at all, but I thought you captured that brilliantly. And I think the second thing you captured brilliantly, because I've spent a fair amount of time with Rob and Christina, is just giving Christina time on the microphone and talking about living out of a Honda Civic and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of having to deal with a partner who is openly battled depression and is an incredibly gifted athlete, and the burden she carries, and the fact that you just let the camera roll and let her talk, and you saw that emotion in her. I mean, she's an amazing person. And you know, often the person who's alongside the superstar doesn't get that kind of play, and you were able to give her that. And so I think, Don, to directly answer your question, that's what I think the next age and stage, instead of just awesome views of dudes, you know, hammering, you know, when Killian went around those guys going down to Deadwood Canyon. I mean, that was awesome, but right. That was like so 5 years ago, you know, and now you're getting really insights into the emotion and character of these people. And, you know, who knows what the video that someone's going to make of the 2018 Western States is going to expose. I will say my only regret is like not having camera crews like these guys, for example, in 2004 when Jurek and Mackey were battling and Jurek got the course record and the French guy went off the front. And I mean, there have been stories or you know, there have been stories through the years that you would have loved to be documented like these have been in this last 7 or 8 years that I wish we could rewind the tape.
You know, actually, I have two things I want to talk about, but it just reminded me. And I hope it's okay. There's kind of a surprise at the end of this mm-hmm. video, and probably the best coverage mm-hmm. of Grunhild.
Oh,
Swanson.
The Gunhild. Oh, yeah.
You guys have seen photos of her finishing and short clips on probably YouTube, but Miles did a phenomenal job of capturing that finish and the group that ran her down. The street into the stadium, and I that's probably the best coverage I've seen of that momentous and memorable event. It was hey, great.
If I could jump in, Miles, could you tell that story? Like, how did you get the? Did you get the vibe through
that's
the streets,
question.
And then did you run up there? I want to know how that all happened.
Yeah.
So in all, we had a camera crew of 4 people, myself being one of them. So we had 3 other camera guys throughout the course, and basically each camera guy, one of them was assigned to each of our athletes that starred in the film or each of their crews, really.
Uh-huh.
And so, Marcus, who was the camera guy, we had him come in from LA, a good friend. He was with Rob Krar and Christina, you know, for the duration of the event. And we knew that Rob would likely finish much sooner than the other stars of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a routine where they get to go hang out at a friend's house that these friends in Auburn on 49 going down to Nohan's Bridge, like mm-hmm. they live right there on that road. The friends like leave the house so that they can come home and relax and mm-hmm. clean up and whatnot. So Rob, I believe when he won Leadville in 2014, he went like and sat on a lawn chair at the finish line after the event. And I don't know if it was just for like the last hour or what duration, but I think he'd commented, maybe he had tears in his eyes, seeing all those finishers come through at Leadville. And so he knew that coming back to Western States in 2015, he's like, I want to go, you know, sleep it off, you know, whatever place, whatever, you know, outcome of his race. And mm-hmm. then he wanted to return to mile 99 and watch the last hour. So that golden hour, he mm-hmm. wanted to see it from, yeah, mile 99 and, you know, maybe where in his races, even though he's so close to the finish, he might, you know, still have such a hard time that last mile, you know, just
right.
whatever level he has to push at and fight in the pain cave. Like, you know, that's his last mile. So yeah, I guess he's kind of wants to just cherish other people's moment there,
right.
how special he knows it is for himself. So Yeah, so it was already planned. Marcus had gone that morning to that house, and then they all went to Mile 99 together. And we see Rob just, cheering on, high-fiving people. We have some text that comes on the screen to kind of let viewers know, like, where we're at in the race. And I was actually filming. I was out there myself, and we were kind of making a highlight video as well that we gave to Western States. You can find that, like, on the Western States Vimeo page. And I decided to follow Katie Trent because she was really close to the cutoff. I know John Trent. I know their whole family's involvement in ultra running. I think they're wonderful people. So I'm like, I'm going to follow Katie. There's going to be something fun here.
Yeah.
And so I took off. I left. But Rob, Christina, and Marcus, our camera guy, were still out there at Mile 99, and I didn't know what happened. I went to the track, essentially. And so we know the events that unfold. Marcus is following a large crew, maybe 15 or 20 people, as they're running down that final stretch, following the footsteps, painted on the cement,
right,
over the White Bridge, and everyone keeps shouting out. We happen to have Rob Krar with a microphone on, so we're capturing the audio of the people shouting, and Rob's just giving her encouragement, and just keep shouting out, like, we're at the track, you can do this, and. And at some point, Marcus gets in the car with Christina, and they start driving to the finish line. And somewhere in there, the camera that's recording Marcus is using, the battery comes off, because he didn't have a rig for running. He was like a shoulder rig for standing for filming. And so he was kind of running, and he's not a runner, by the way. And so, he's chasing this 70-year-old woman who's run 99 miles.
And she's beating
can
him.
He keep up with maybe a 20-pound camera rig of sorts? So, at some point, while he's recording, the battery falls off on that camera. If the battery comes off while it's recording, it corrupts the data.
Ooh.
And so when you put the battery back on, it's like, do you want to recover your data? And you hit yes, obviously. But it takes some time, and so. There was some moments that probably he could have probably filmed even more, but some that we kind of didn't quite get. But everything worked out. But I got this card, a media card, and I took it home, and it was like the file's corrupt, and I couldn't see any of the footage. And he told me, like, "Oh, I went and filmed Rob at this house, Mile 99, and this lady ran to the finish." and I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, I thought I was going to have to spend thousands of dollars and send it off to some professional to recover that footage, but luckily I did some tricks and I was able to recover the footage myself. And
nice,
what I discovered was something incredible. So
yeah,
what I saw of that real time was everyone ran onto the track, and it's like there's a point where Marcus is running across the lawn of the track from the entrance to the finish line, and it's like shaky camera, like he's not really filming anything, it's just he's still recording and he's capturing the audio of Rob Krar that whole time.
Oh yeah.
But no one sees this. It's just footage I've seen. But like the camera shaking, it almost looks like there's like a big earthquake, and like everyone in town is fleeing the city because everyone is running across the field to watch her finish, and they want to know. And as she rounds that final corner, whether she gets the straight on view of the track, the whole crowd that's probably like whatever it is, like 100 yards from the finish, like encompasses that and like closes the track in. And Rob stays there with kind of like that wall of people, and they're just shouting and cheering. And so I was at the finish line. We had another camera operator, Damien, at the finish line, just filming the final finishers. I just filmed Katie Trent. People were getting really excited.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. He gets a lot of credit. Andy knows the guy that finished just before Gunhill.
Between Katie and Gunhill. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a very important guy, and he has an incredible story. And so I filmed Gunhild, film like just like 30 feet as she's on the track with her pacer, and just the amount of encouragement and focus that they both have, determination. And it's like, yeah, we just like we know there's a time that's counting down, but we don't know if she's going to make it. And it's just,
As I was watching that, I knew how it ended, right? But the way that it was filmed, it saw her coming down the stretch with the clock in sight, and you're going, she's not going to make it. She's going to miss it by like 10 seconds. There's no way she's going to make it. And I mean, I actually got on the edge of my chair, even though I knew what was going to happen, that she made it. It was pretty well filmed.
AJW, now you were announcing that race at the end, correct? I'd like to hear from you, from your viewpoint. You've got a microphone in hand, and you're watching this finish, and you've seen a lot of finishers, and you know what that last lap feels like. What can you tell us about your experience and your viewpoint from that ending?
I want to say first, it's amazing that, I mean, we talked about lightning in a bottle with, JV and Unbreakable in 2010. And I think Miles got lightning in a bottle with this Gunhild finish. I don't know if anybody else got that kind of coverage with the shaky camera and Rob out there in his flip flops and all that. So kudos to you on that. I mean, I've said it before here, Don, I've never seen a sports event like that. I was trying to do, my job, my quote unquote job at Western States until about 29:58 on the clock. And then seriously, because I've gotten emotional at the golden hour for 15 years now. I can't leave that track. I hang out there. I watch all these finishers. Whether I've run the race, this year I hadn't run the race, but even the years I've run the race, it's like I want to see those people. And I mean, the stories are endless, Jose San Gabriel, and I mean, it goes on and on and on. Gordy, the year he stumbled in, when we were giving out the buckles. But this one was amazing. You had two septuagenarians, Gary Nippling, who got timed out at ART. But Gunhild, who kept going, and you could sort of see it coming. She and Katie had been running for a little while together, and then Katie was like, I gotta go. I mean, a lot of us at the track were like, we just got to get Katie home. And you had John there, and he's crying, and and then Gunhild comes out of nowhere, or sort of nowhere. And the fact that it came down to so few seconds, 6 seconds. The drama, I mean, it was right. It was like ABC's Wide World of Sports drama down that final straightaway. And I couldn't control myself. I completely lost it. And she's an amazing woman. And I think it captures in many ways, Don and Scotty, the essence of that race. Mm-hmm. That whether you're the guy who finishes first or the person who finishes last or the person who gets timed out, it really is living a life in a day. And even if you do it once or you do it like Tweet has done 25 times, it still means a whole lot. And for all of us in between, we get that. And that was the beauty of what you showed, Miles, in that film and what Gunhild has shown in her ability to kind of deal with all the attention she got and the joy in which, the race has celebrated it. So, I mean, I don't want it to happen again. That was pretty stressful. But it was amazing to see it happen.
Can I chime in just for what?
Yeah,
I mean, what would have happened had she not? I mean, what if it had gone 2 seconds over? And how would the community have felt? And imagine, just by that split amount of time there. And what was what was Craig thinking at the time? And all the other people that are there that are so important to this race, just watching this transpire. You wonder. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about this, of course, but. Gosh.
Well, I was standing with Craig, if you don't mind me answering that. I was standing with Craig during that, and we kind of thought that Katie was going to be the last finisher. Experience had suggested that was the kind of way it was going to be. And Don, the woman, the 8-time non-finisher was Nancy March, is who you're thinking of.
That's right.
But Nancy's still around the race. And we were sort of thinking, Gunhild, because, she would have, when you do the math from Roby to the finish, she pretty much had to run like 8-minute miles from Roby to the finish. And she had Rob Carr pacing her, so she was able to do that. it was a little of Robert, frankly, kind of bittersweet, because we were sort of anticipating, And I think the board members around the table were anticipating, too, kind of a 30-hour and 20-second finisher, which, you know, you get credited with the finish. You don't, you're not an official finisher. You get a medal, but that's the rules. You know, you, in fact, you have to finish in 29:59:59. And yet Gunhill, you know, did it. And there were a couple finishers that actually came in after her, people who had cleared No Hands Bridge in time and didn't make it. But you know, typically by the time they get up to Roby, they realize that and they figure out a way to get to their cars and not have drama on the track. But I think in the case of Gunhill, she was absolutely on the bubble and stayed on the front end of the bubble. And God bless her, man. She's inspired maybe a generation. Maybe she's even like Anton and Jeff in on the other end of the spectrum, inspired another group of ultra runners to take to the trails.
Of course.
Yeah. And to speak to the community, to your point, Robert, you know, we're all emotionally involved in that finish, mm-hmm. and we can all experience and feel the emotion and the joy and the potential heartache if she didn't. And I think that's what binds us together as a group. We shared in that with her, and those, many of us don't know her personally, but we feel that we could go up and just give her a big hug because we have lived that space with her for a moment. And so I really think those stories resonate well within our trail community.
I'd like to hear some stories. Go ahead.
If I could just jump in and say, I'm really excited that she's going to be one of the people on the veterans panel this year that is going to be on the Thursday before Western States, that will immediately precede the screening of This Is Your Day at Western States on the Thursday before the race. So it'll be a nice sort of victory lap for Gunhild this year as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the time that you spend at an aid station, how can you, how, you know,
yeah.
you're not going to spend an extra 6 seconds anywhere.
you know, speaking of aid stations, one of the things that I got out of this film that I thought was just kind of a cool affirmation or confirmation of how cool these races are and how cool it is to have the crew and family that we have that support us is, and I was talking to Miles earlier, whether I'm sure he had this all planned, but or in thought when he created the film, but Rob Krar and his wife talk about how important it is to see each other and just look in each other's eyes at these aid stations or these crew aid stations. And I think Carl even mentioned it too. There's not a whole lot that is said between crew, but it means the world to one of these runners to look in the eyes of the people that care about them, that are crewing them, or spouses or children, and look them in the eye and know that they're loved, that they're supported, and it's a huge motivation. I remember coming into aid stations where I was pretty down, and just to see those people and look in their eyes and know that they're pulling for you is a pretty powerful thing.
Miles, when you started that figuring out what you were going to do with this movie, did you plan on trying to capture some of that, or did it just happen and you say, "Oh my goodness, look at this, look at these shots of each other looking, you know, these crew and runners looking at each other and sharing in these emotions"? Was that a surprise or something you targeted?
Well, the plan was definitely to film it from the crew's perspective, mm-hmm. to show the race or ultra running or Western States in an idea or in a way that we've never really seen it in a film that I know of before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, the idea was that the camera was going to be mirrored to that interaction, that exchange between the crew and the athlete as they came in. So, I mean, one thing I really enjoy, it makes me smile whenever I see it, is Carl Hoagland going into the Forest Hill aid station with his full crew. Like, you know, he's got like multiple pacers who are going to be exchanging out later. And you just look at how many arms of his crew are pointing at the chair he's about to sit down. And like maybe three or more people are all pointing at the one chair. And,
yeah.
you know, he's just the legs and they are the brains, you know, in that at that situation.
Well, in the interaction that he had with his daughter and his son, mm-hmm. I mean,
powerful.
Yeah, he's definitely, he needs his hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
Because yeah, he's gonna go run off to the next aid station. You know, he has to go several aid stations before he might see the crew again, and he wants that uplifting moment just as much as they do.
Is that the first time he'd ever had his family as his crew that you know of? I mean,
if I'm not mistaken, his parents were there in 2009, I believe.
I think you mentioned in the film it's the first time that his daughter and his son.
I think it was
the
first time his son Jimmy was there.
Oh, okay.
His daughter, I believe, maybe in 2009. You know, because they're all, he has three children. One was maybe too young, so he didn't come this race. But yeah, I think the daughter and the parents had been there before.
Hey, let's kick the title around the table a little bit, because I think it's a great title, and I'd like to know why you picked it. But I think it's something that we've all discussed as individuals on a trail. This is your day, and how does that fit into a long race? Whether it's a 50K, 50-mile, 100K, it doesn't matter the distance. But that is, and I guess I'll start off because it'll give you guys time to formulate your thoughts, and maybe you'll take mine, and then I won't have one. But it's a special time when you get to put that bib on. And everything that is otherwise a responsibility kind of gets shifted to the side. And for that moment, the only thing that matters is that next aid station or that next hill you have on in your mind that you need to climb. It's that very special experience that I haven't had since I was, you know, 5 or 7 or a kid, when the only thing that mattered was what I was doing and maybe what time the next meal was, but that was it. And that seems to happen out on the race, on the trail. And that bib goes on, life becomes simple once again, and this is your day, is everybody's catering to you. You have four people pointing at a chair, and it really is a special moment. You are a king or queen for that period of time.
It's better than your birthday. I mean, your birthday only lasts like a couple hours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a full day or longer for the slow guys like me that everybody's focused on you.
Yeah, yeah. And
people that you don't even know.
And to that point, 1,500 volunteers at Western States and 300 plus some odd runners, there's a lot of focus on you as a runner. Any thoughts from you guys on this is your day, the experience of a racer wearing a bib, of that experience?
Well, for me, I guess I have too many this is not your days. But no,
that's true.
It's true.
There are days where you go, this isn't my day.
that's good, Robert.
No, I've had plenty of good days out there. If you're talking racing, I would have to say just my first experience doing a marathon. Trail marathon in Big Sur, and you know, coming in sixth, I think that was really a great day for me, because you know, it opened up this whole new community to me of runners. And you know, now that I was in it, I decided, well, geez, if I can place sixth in a marathon, why even bother with these anymore? So let's step it up to a 50K. Well, you know, then I learned my lesson. You know, some guy named Lior kicked my ass by, God, maybe an hour. But I still did great in that race. And it does. It just carried, and as much as it hurt, and, you know, your body just is hurting, and you just want to get home, you're hungry, you might not want to do it again. Once you get back out on that trail just to run, just a normal run, you're always thinking about that next race, you know. For me, watching films has become really special for me. It's something that, you know, I get great, great inspiration from, which I hope, you know, people in the audience at all my film festivals, they're going to feel the same way. They're going to want to go out. They're going to want to hit that trail. They're going to think about winning, doing their best, and just having a great day for themselves.
AJW, any thoughts from you on this is your day, the special moment of wearing a bib?
You know what I loved about that title is the ownership, that you just take it. You know, the best. This is your day. I loved the interview you guys did, Miles, with Rob. You know, in front of No Man's Bridge. If you want to be successful in a 100-mile race, you have to own it, claim it, name it, and be like, I'm going to be my best badass self on this day. You can't do anything else. And even if you crash and burn, you have to be able to do that. And so the idea of the title, you know, Don, this is your day, is like, yeah, it sounds a little bit sort of self, you know, aggrandizing, but damn it, you know, you've done this, you've put in the time, you've done the work. This is your day. And if, you know, the next 4 weeks are going to be other people's day, but today is going to be my day. And you have to own it and grab it by the horns and do it. And I think that when we see successful Western States runners, that's what they've done. And in fact, any 100-mile runners, that's what they've done. So I like that, the ownership piece. The other thing is, you know, about the cruise and what you said, Miles, you know, the angle you played on that, a new and unique angle on a running movie, because those crews, man, I mean, my kids, my first 100-miler, my two sons were 2 and a newborn, and now they're going off to college. So, I mean, they've literally grown up on the trail, and they wouldn't have it on any other way. And last year when we were out at Hard Rock and we were helping out with the I Run Far coverage and just enjoying time in the San Juans, I mean, they looked me in the eye and said, damn it, Dad, we got to be back and do this with you as a runner. And I was like, whoa. Look, I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to be the old guy you remember 10 years ago. And they're like, we don't care. We just want to be back there. And that's the sort of global piece of this is your day, which is whoever it is, you claim it, you name it, and you make it yours. And if it affects one person, 5 people, 20 people, it makes a difference in their lives. And I felt that, Miles, I really did in this film.
Miles, when you picked and selected that title, I'm assuming you did, it's your movie, you had the right to name it. Why did you pick it? What did it mean to you?
Well, I'll just first say Mike Cloward had a phenomenal part in producing this film. He's our executive producer. Mm-hmm. So he and I were the ones that were really brainstorming on the title.
Right.
So I had already interviewed Rob Krar on, I think it was May 1st, the day before the Canyons 100K. He'd mm-hmm. come out to Auburn.
Right.
And we interviewed him the day before. So and then even after the race, Mike and I got to hang out with Rob. And so I started to collect some of this initial interviews, you know, let's say a month or two before this, the Western States in 2015. And so we had this content in advance and mm-hmm. Mike and I were just brainstorming, and I just kind of mentioned like, hey, well, Rob said this in this one interview, like, what do you think? And essentially it's Rob's quoting his wife.
Yeah.
Christina Bauer, from the 2014, the beginning of the 2014 race. You know, 2013 was his first 100-mile attempt when he got second place.
Mm-hmm.
Came back in 2014, won, but it was this one moment where she expressed a reference to him at the beginning of the race, and so that was his mantra throughout the 2014 event.
And I think you include that in the film,
don't
you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like one of the first statements in the film as you're watching, mm-hmm. the first minute or two.
Yeah.
And so in a larger scale, what I take This Is Your Day in, like what it becomes for me, and I think it's transparent in the film, but it's at least in the back of my mind, like while I was making the film, and that's that all year long, and it could be longer depending on the runner, you know, and the lifestyle, but all year long, or at least since December when you got chosen in the lottery to run Western States the next June, you're making your whole family or friends or work, anything in your life is probably making some sort of sacrifice mm-hmm. because you're running Western States or any 100-miler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so in the case of like Rob Krar, I think this year, or excuse me, 2015, maybe 2 weeks before Western States or something like that, in the peak of probably his taper or something like that, Christina was traveling, I think, across the country or state to go to, I think, her sister's wedding, and Rob wasn't able to go because of his dedication to his training and to mm-hmm. Western States. So that shows a whole commitment on the champion level of you know, dedication.
Right.
But, you know, all these things that happen throughout your year, and then you come to the race, and your family, your friends, everyone puts that on hold. Like, they don't care at that day what else has happened. Today, this is your day, and they are your butlers and your four-diamond resort service, you know.
Right.
Carl's daughter, you know, yeah. rubbing lube on his feet and dirty socks, and that's what you do, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome, and a good, you know, just a good example of crews serving other yeah. people. I mean, that is you don't think ordinarily I wouldn't take somebody's socks off and help clean between their toes, but if I'm part of the crew, no question, I'll get it done.
You know what? It's not even the crew. At mile 30, when I had feet issues, a complete stranger is playing with my feet. That's nuts. when you think about it, that's nuts. They're but it's the blisters. It's the dedication of these aid station workers that I don't think you see that in life on a normal basis. It's complete selfishness. Selflessness. Can we edit that out?
Oh, don't worry.
Selflessness.
Don't worry, pal. It's edited. No one will ever hear it. hey, so are there other, and this is to anybody that's listening here, are there other genres that are out there, other motocross or horse riding or swimming?
It seems quilt like making.
Quilt making. There's quite a bit going on with trail running. We should talk about that coming up with your series, and if people want to see Trails in Motion in the 30 countries, let's get into that. But is it more popular with the trail running community, or is it everywhere, these short films and documentaries? I don't know.
Well, let's talk to Miles. He's a professional.
Okay, Miles.
Do you do other films on other topics?
Well, I started filmmaking, if you will, when I was a teenager, as a semi-professional skateboarder. Mm. My friends and I, we would film each other and get sponsored, and it was all about traveling. So how we might travel today to go run an ultramarathon across the country, you did that for skateboarding. Mm. I mean, people still do, obviously.
Yeah.
And so back in the 90s, where I saw skateboarding is kind of actually where I see the level where trail or ultra running is now, and like, now skateboarding is at a whole new level with the X Games and Tony Hawk skateboard games, you know, everything's signature this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an Anton Kaprichev vest, you know, a hydration vest, like think about skateboarding, it's a whole different level of sponsorship and endorsement. So there's all these different sports. And actually, honestly, like a lot of, I'd say the roots of my camera work is from skateboarding. Like the style I developed is something I've developed in the 90s, I'd say. So I still actually look to skateboarding films. There was a big one, I think it's We Are Blood, recently from Brain Farm. Ty Evans was the director. Mm. He's someone I worked with back in the 90s briefly. And so, yeah, like I'll look at his work and it's like, it's amazing. And so I want to bring that to trail running, that level.
Speaking of amazing, you've got a shot where you're following a runner, looks like right behind him, in the most unbelievable steady shot when you're... I don't know how you did that. You don't have to divulge your secrets. I mean, you're like a magician right now. You should tell us how you saw the lady in half. But you saw a lady in half with that shot. That was amazing.
Well, there could be many shots you're referencing, but one in particular that was the most extreme was filming Caroline Bowler in Temecula. Mm. She lived in Temecula at the time of the film.
And that's the one.
She kind of departs from her family, and then we kind of stood at the top. Before we filmed that particular shot, we kind of stood at the top, and I looked down it, and like, it looks kind of burly, like as if like water had whooshed down and you know, over the years and made it like a little canal or something in the downhill section. And so I'm like, it looks good. And so she just started running, and I just tried to keep up as much as I could. But I have this electronic stabilizing device, it's like a 16-pound rig.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, where I take from my skateboarding days. I was so used to back then holding out a camera and not looking at a monitor and knowing I got the shot. And so it was, I'd like to say I probably ran 60%, filmed 40%, and just kind of hoped both worked out, because it was a really dangerous, hairy situation. You can see her feet pitter-pattering through the technical, and you can only imagine I was doing something very similar. And
I imagine the shot ended right when you hit face first. I imagine that's how long the shot was.
in the film, I do cut to a second clip of her continuing the final descent off that hill, but that was just to pick up some coverage where I kind of... things got a little too burly.
Yeah, this is a movie not only for runners, but also for crew and pacers and everybody to see, you know, how it should be done, because there's a lot of great examples out there.
Yeah, I really think if someone was going to be crewing Western States or any 100-miler, or maybe the runner would suggest this film to their crew, like, hey, this is your instruction manual. And you get to see it from all different aspects. I mean, that was another whole point of the film was, let's just not show the champion. Let's show, you know, a middle-aged runner.
Yeah,
if you will, you know, and a female athlete running her first 100-miler, and how the crew dynamics and the crew experience varies, you know, so you can get a whole different variety of knowledge, I think.
You know, it's fun to see how Rob Krar and his crew go through step by step the night before how this pit crew is going to work. and everybody has their...
They're a well-oiled machine.
Oh, yes. Everybody has their job. One person puts the ice in the bandana and wraps it up, so all he needs to do is come down, throw the bandana, throw the new one on. They shove some ice down his sleeves, and then they're off.
They rehearse that in the hotel. Right.
Yeah. You know, I have a question that... I think we've talked to J.B. Bennett about this, but I'd like to get your take on this, Miles, is how much footage did you have for this to get to 52 minutes of the final
good
scene?
Question.
And then the other question is you probably have hours and hours of interview. How do you go and say, okay, this is the story I want to tell, and how do I go and pick this segment of this interview and massage it in with this part? I mean, how does that work?
Well, you have some great questions, and the massaging part really is, to me, is realistic, because every time I would make a subtle change, I almost would watch the entire film at whatever point I was in the editing process. Mm-hmm. I'd have to like watch it again because I wanted to know, was there just a subtle shift in the mood, and did I mess it up with that change, or you know, how do I have to take something else out now because I put something in? And if I had to guess, there was, well, first of all, I think we probably had about 14 total filming days, if I'm not mistaken, while we traveled to each person's home and then during the race and whatnot.
But Miles, I'm going to interject and say, you know, as a fellow editor, because I do the editing on the podcast,
right.
That I do too listen to the whole podcast. Mm-hmm. And the subtle, I don't do any of it.
Yeah, Don, the difference is you listen to the whole podcast and then just play it all.
I listen to it while we're recording it, and then I hit send.
Yeah, upload.
There is no editing.
So I think we probably had at least 10 or 12 hours of interview footage.
Wow.
And so if you watch the film online on demand, there is 30 minutes of bonus footage. So I did decide to release some of that extra stuff. You know, it's kind of like if you really enjoyed a certain character, you can learn a little more about their personality or family or Carl Hoagland, even for 3.5 minutes. It was a wonderful moment in the interview. I was thinking in my mind when I'm asking the question for like a 20-second answer, I'm like, can you describe the Western States 100? And he goes off for about 3.5 minutes.
Wow.
And he just like, he describes just like the history of, you know, everything involved in every segment of the race. And it's a beautiful answer. It just wasn't like in its whole didn't quite fit in the film, you know, but, so I guess I'm finessing things, massaging the film, and if you will, and just finding how it works best. And so there's moments that I loved and enjoyed, but they didn't make sense in the film. I mean, to give you just a funny example, we see Carl Hoagland with his family the day before in the hotel preparing the crew plan. There's an exchange between Carl and his mother where they talk about making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and Carl's just like, oh, yeah, make the whole loaf because you guys are going to be hungry too. And she says, do you want me to cut the crust off? And I'm thinking, well, here's a grown man, and his mother's saying, do you want me to cut the crust off? And he's like... just I think he said to cut the top off. He's like, but I still want the crust on the other sides. And I thought it was so funny, but it didn't quite fit with that moment. The rest of the whole intent of
that
the film.
That has got to be super difficult.
It certainly can be challenging
to not include something that you personally really really like.
Didn't you go through a couple changes too during the when you were submitting to Trails in Motion? I think you had.
Yeah, there's been a couple subtle changes. I mean, since anyone has seen the film, I think the only real change, maybe 10 people saw it, was it was an original ending. So how it ends now, there was one additional scene. We took it out for various reasons. I didn't actually think about the ending of the film. Like once you see the end credits, I mean, that's kind of when people like would start to get up in a theater, and then it's just like, oh wait, there's bonus. You know, it's just like. I wanted to be like one of the big Hollywood films.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day.
Yeah, you hit that timing perfectly, too, on the end, because I've shown this movie over and over again to so many crowds, and I'm watching. I observe, you know, because I know what's coming up. I know the bonus footage is coming up, but they're rolling through the credits. And
it's
then
just short enough so they can't leave.
Just as they're starting to stand up, here it comes, the bonus footage. And that, right there, I mean, that's, you know, you were there, San Francisco, when we showed the first screening.
First one was in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
More of a soft
San Francisco.
Opening.
We had about, I think we were about 250 people, and Rob Carr was a guest. We had the whole crew.
That was our biggest grand opening type of show. Yeah.
Yeah. So we set that up in San Francisco, but yeah, it was. I mean, that ending just brought them to their feet, and they were cheering.
Let's talk about Trails in Motion. So you're showing film.
Can I just interject real quick, Miles? If you ever want to get into producing, like, month long mini series, you could ask that same question: what is Western States to Andy Jones Wilkins? You'd probably get about 5 months worth of footage,
and then just like Don, I could just upload it to the internet.
Just upload it,
no edit necessary,
and just raw form. No editing, just put it up there.
People will love it too; they'll just eat it up.
Raw form. You know, probably one of my favorite commentaries from AJW is when he held up one of his favorite IPAs, Sierra Nevada, and he described it like
it was a person,
a family member, a devoted loved one. It was so emotional.
I think I even saw a tear.
And she's still with me to this day.
Let's talk about Trails in Motion.
Trails in Motion, yes. Well, thank you. So Miles had contacted me, and we had worked together on a short course preview of a 50K that I host. So he had known me, and I got an email. He's doing a film, and in it, it's about Western States, and in it is Rob Carr, Carolyn Bowler, and Carl Hogan. Would you like to help out and, you know, help us promote this film?
Is this your first introduction to this stranger that's just emailed you?
No, I knew Miles.
No, we had worked together maybe 2 years before.
Yeah. Okay.
And Miles and Mike, you know, they had contacted me. They had known me through that one course preview and as the Trails in Motion Northern California guy.
Okay.
So, I heard these names. I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Duh, yeah. Yeah. Rob Carr, of course I want to help out on this. Absolutely. And so basically they brought me on as their it was kind of a marketing distribution manager for
the film.
I called
it booking agent.
Booking agent, yeah. He had another title. We couldn't really place it. But anyway, it was my job to get as many eyes as we possibly could on this film. And I figured, well, that's easy. I mean, think about who's in this movie. Think about what the movie's about, the race. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about it. So one of the first jobs was to get it submitted to Trails in Motion. I'm not part of that selection committee. We actually send it in to James Hallett, who's in South Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know James?
Right.
Yeah, and he goes through. Now, he had over 50 films to go through this year. That's a lot, and that's going back to something about the popularity of these films. There's right. huge growth. People all over the place just submitting these films. So he narrowed it down to 7. This Is Your Day was chosen as the headliner. So congratulations with that, Miles. That was big.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, they were really happy
about
that.
Thank you for your phenomenal help, Robert.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it wasn't a hard sell on that, but
so Trails in Motion is this film festival that has multiple venues. And you can go to trailsinmotion.com to go see where all those venues are around the world.
Right.
If I was to register and go buy a ticket for Trails in Motion, there's 7 films. Am I going to be sitting in a screening room for 7 hours? Tell us what someone gets when they go to a Trail in Motion film festival.
Well, you're going to get 7 films, and it's not 7 hours, it's 2. We've scaled it down a little bit over the years. It's getting a little long, so we cut it down to 2. I mean, it depends on where you go to see it.
Okay. So you know, could you go to multiple ones and get a different experience at different locations?
Oh, sure. You know, and that depends on who your guests might be.
Okay.
Because we get some really, really, really cool guests. Some of it might be, you know, centered around a race. You know, could stretch it out over a little bit more time. But, you know, I think people after a couple hours of watching some trail running films, might be a good time to
they're ready to go
get
run
up, to get up.
Well, you know, most of them are. One of the cool things, because I've been to these film festivals, it's cool is there are guests.
Yes.
I went to one up in Auburn that was
I can't remember the name of the film. It was a J.B. Benna one, where he the John Muir Trail one that he filmed.
Yep.
And J.B. Benna was there, right. And he got up and spoke a little bit of how this film came to be. It was kind of an accident, and how it came to be. And then he opened it up to questions, and you can ask the guy questions. Don and I went to one over in San Francisco for Unbreakable. That, I mean, we were sitting right behind the stars of Unbreakable, and they were there to answer questions, and you could shake their hands afterwards. I mean, it's more than going and seeing Star Wars.
Well, that's what's great about our community. I mean, you know, I would much rather go meet Rob Carr than, you know, say something. I mean, who? Brad Pitt. I could care less. But these are the people.
Donald Trump.
That's a direct question.
He's pretty hot right now.
Yeah, he is. But they're so much easier to get to. I mean, it was not hard to get Rob Carr to come out to San Francisco to the show. You know, we had that all arranged. So yeah, like you say, guests. It is. It's very important, and we have them at all our shows. I mean, I'd like to just kind of mention the films a little bit, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, because you know we're interested in these films.
Yeah. Okay. Well. And this is in the order of how I would show them at a film festival. Mm-hmm. The first one we have is a great film that Dean Leslie and the African Attachment did called Kroger's Canteen. Now, if you've ever run Hard Rock, you know what Kroger's is, and that's I think they're at about 13,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the one aid station that has a waiting list, and it's
for volunteers.
Yes, mm-hmm. To be a volunteer. And to be there, you've had to have run Hard Rock before. So that was done in 2014, and Killian won that. So Solomon did that one. Great, great film. In fact, you know, I picked that to be the. It's one of my favorite of the festival. It just starts out, gets people in the right mood. After that,
how long is that film?
That one, about 11 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to go into the next one, which is called A Journey to Black Mountain. And this is a return of Scott Heine. Now, Scott Heine had a film that we did back in 2014. So he's now back with another film. This was a story about him going to South Africa, learning from these people down in this range, very remote range, of how to just kind of live life with less. And how he can kind of do it through running. Another great story.
Can I ask you this question? If you can't get to a film festival, are these available in any other venue? If you couldn't get there and you're in some remote place, are they
to watch individually?
Yeah, just inspired by your description and you just...
Kroger's Canteen, yes. I believe that they showed that, you know, when they released it, it was just a free viewing that you could do through their Vimeo channel.
Through Solomon TV.
Solomon TV,
like
yeah. Solomon mm-hmm. Running, Solomon TV, they have it. So a lot of these, yeah, shorter ones like the next one called Shandy Cano. This is about a girl who does something that most of us would want to do, and that's just quit our job and go to the mountains and run.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a really short film. But
I do that every Friday. Well, I quit my job or return on Monday.
Yeah, with a clear conscience after
you
that.
Think you're the boss. You can
running.
Hire yourself back.
Yeah.
So she does that, and that was done in, she's in Utah. Another one we have is Nuevos Pasos. It's Luis Hernando. And this guy just goes through, this is done in Spanish, but this guy goes through this incredible mental block out there. He's just bonking big time. He comes out of it and ends up, you know, doing really well in this race. Beautiful, beautiful scenery done in the Italian Alps and around Mont Blanc. So that's a great film. The Last Time I Heard True Silence, this is a really heavy hitter. It's about a machine gunner who went to Iraq twice. And it's his story about how he has found running as a way for him to, you know, separate himself from really the world. He uses running to cope, and it's a really, really great story. In fact, I try to tell people to contact this guy. His name's Noah Cass, lives in Massachusetts. You know, I say hello to him on Facebook, thanking him for his service. He was a Marine machine gunner. So really good story. Mile for Mile is another one. Maybe some of you have heard this. This is the story about Conservation Patagonica, which is Luke Nelson, Chrissy Mayle, Dreth Browning. James Q. Martin produced it. The story about some of the lands down in Patagonia that they're trying to preserve. Doug Tompkins, who was just recently passed, he's in the film also. After that, we're going to go into This Is Your Day. And usually I show all those movies, we break for a little while, and then go into This Is Your Day. Just because This Is Your Day is an hour long, and I think that's the perfect ending to these films. So if you're, you know, interested in going to a show, you can find them. They're all over the world. They're happening in 30 countries, probably in about 130 cities. You know, mine are going to be, I've got some really big ones I'm really, really excited about. May 5th, I'm hooking up with Tia Boddington and Solomon. We're going to show it the Thursday night before Miwok in San Rafael. That's going to be at the original George Lucas screening studios that he had before.
I'm not missing that one. I'm not missing that one.
No, that's a great show. It's really good. Solomon will be there, so they're going to bring in some of their. Who knows who's going to run? You know, sometimes we just don't know who the guests are yet. Could be someone who's ever running Miwok. After that, I'm going to be heading the next day. I have to fly up to Orcas Island to go out there with the High Priestess, we call her, Candace, to her trail, her marathon and trail fest out on the island. Another great show. The biggie I have coming up is on May 29th. Now, this is during the Memorial Day weekend training runs for Western States. May 29th is the Sunday after Cal Street. Now, Craig Thornley in Western States are sponsoring this. Really is a huge honor for me to be able to do that. I mean, to be able to have that Sunday night, you know, given to me to show these films is just amazing, and I want to thank them. But you're really going to want to not miss this one because Gunhild will be there. I've got Gordy coming. Jeff Browning's going to be there. Miles will be there. Carolyn Bowler. And who knows who else? Whoever might be whoever's going to be running that day. It's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a big show. Really looking forward to that one. Another one, and Scott, you might want to help me on this because it's going to be in Park City.
Oh, yeah. I'll go to Park City.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe you can get in touch with Bob out there. And,
heck yeah.
He can, you know, point me in the right direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I see Trails in Motion becoming bigger than the Sundance Film Festival.
It's quite possible. And he's going to help, right? But anyway, that's still in the works. It's going to be during the Mid-Mountain Marathon, which is from Deer Valley over to the canyons. So that ought to be nice, another Solomon-sponsored event. We're also going to hit up San Francisco again, which is the show before the North Face Endurance Challenge.
The finale of the tour, the film festival
is.
Tour.
It's a big one. Usually Thursday night before North Face is a big night. Probably get about 300 or 400 people in there. This past one, we had Ellie Greenwood, Ricky Gates was there, Mike Wardian. Had some big names. So, really, anybody, please just come on out. If you're interested, you know, you can do a Trails in Motion Film Festival of your own. Just contact us, trailsinmotion.com. If you're interested in just This Is Your Day, you can also screen that, just like you're doing, AJW. Thank you, by the way. That's coming up.
AJW, tell us about that. You've got you're featuring This Is Your Day at your race.
Yeah. So we have the Thomas Jefferson 100K on March 12th, so a week from tomorrow, and we're going to do a This Is Your Day screening on Thursday night before for the runners who come in early and so forth, and we're using it as our social. Our Charlottesville area trail runners social event before then. And so it'll be fun. And we're going to have beer and food and hanging out and talking and maybe a few Western States veterans will have a few things to say to people as well.
I know you'll have something to say, AGW. I'm sure of that. And it's not going to be a few.
Yeah, we got really excited when I got an email from Andy Jones Wilkins about wanting to show this movie. It was just like, wow, okay, now we're really going big time here, right? Yeah, and you know, I mean, there are some standout hosts, you know, in the past that just were really, really great and on it. You know, we had requests coming in from all over the world. You know, I had one from Ecuador. It didn't work out. Australia, that didn't work out. But how many did we screen probably?
Well, the film was officially completed July 31st, just about a month after Western States. And we hosted our own first two screenings, Flagstaff, I think it was August 19th. And then San Francisco was September 17th. And so then, yeah, the request came in from Vancouver, Australia, Dallas.
We did it. St. Louis.
Seattle. Yeah. We had a couple Washington showings.
Chattanooga.
Like back to back.
I mean, coming from places that you just don't normally relate trail running to. I mean, I Chattanooga, I was like, what's going on down there? There's a huge trail running community down there. Dallas.
Yeah, St. Louis. Yep. Yeah, and a lot of them, well, similar to Andy's situation where it's like a running club of sorts and they're hosting it for their community, which is fantastic.
I'd like to say, too, I think the showing on the Thursday before Western States, you guys are going to pack the house there. I hope that you, Miles, I assume you're going to be there. And
I expect I will.
You're busy doing something else, Miles.
It's being held at his house. It's being held at his house.
Yeah, I just have to run.
Because I really think that's kind of a game changer. Craig and I were talking about that, I don't know, 10 days ago or so. He's like, hey, you realize we're going to do the This Is Your Day right after the veterans panel? And this was Robert right before chatted with you, you know, last week. And I mean, I think that's the kind of life we want to give to that entire pre-Western States week.
Oh, they're going to get excited. And, the runners will be excited.
And, oh, my God, are they ever. And that's cool. That's really cool.
And it's free.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's beer. Huh? Is there going to be beer?
Well, now you have Gunhild is the veterans panel, so I'm going to have to see if she might want to come over to the movie and say a few words.
Oh, darn right she's going to come over to the movie.
Oh, she'll come over.
I think AJW's tap room is catering the event.
They are, I understand.
There will be beer.
So if you go to...
I don't run the race anymore. My race is 3 weeks after that, so I'm good.
So you can go to trailsinmotion.com to check out... there's a map on there that you can zoom in and you can pick wherever you want to go. It may not be a bad idea to go on a road trip and just kind of see one of these on a road trip. You can also, if you're interested in This Is Your Day, you can download this on demand at Vimeo, or you can go to the website, thisisyourday.com, and you can pick it up that way, too.
It's a must-see for anybody running the race, anybody crewing the race, anybody that's...
A race. It doesn't have to be the race. Well, it can be a race.
I'll tell you, Scott, that I ended up watching that today and signed up for a race today. So do you think there's a correlation between watching
that? He's not joking. He sent me a text.
Yeah, I signed
up. Race director is going to be very happy about this.
Yeah, we're boosting race attendance based on some of these movies, so that's good.
Hey, Andy Jones-Wilkins, you still have some openings in your race coming next weekend?
We do. We have five openings. So
how does one get one of those five openings?
TJ100K.com. All you have to do is just go on the website and come join the party. But yeah, we're in final stages and we're ready to go, and it's going to be a great race.
Tell us a little bit about your course. I mean, if somebody's saying, I want to run that thing, is it around a track, or what are you doing exactly at your race?
Well, it's not
going
around
up and down his stairs at his house.
I know it's not around a track, Andy.
It's a nine mile loop done seven times. So you've got to be a loop person. You know, it's kind of in the model of Javelina and Umstead and Rocky Raccoon. But it's 1,000 feet a loop, and so you get 8,000 in the 100K, and it's a good entry level 100K, and it's a good race that if you like to have logistically easy events, you have a family, you like to come back to your car every 9 miles, it's a great race, and we have killer food. I'm not sure there's another ultra marathon in the country that has 100% sponsorship from Whole Foods. And so our food is good. I had a guy last year at the end of the race, after the award ceremony, he gave me $20. He's like, I got to give you $20 because I ate way too much food this week. I think I gained 5 pounds running.
What is the most unique food item on the buffet?
A bacon egg frittata.
A frittata? That's pretty snooty.
And that's just for breakfast. Then we have pierogies with cheese melted on top, 3 different types of cheese for lunch. And then if you want to get some steak for dinner, you can get a little steak. And if you're lucky, and if you're slow enough, you can maybe get a little lobster ravioli, but you have to be slow enough.
I think that guy needs to give you $40, AJW. That 20 was near enough.
And you're going to have to give me your Whole Foods connection, too.
That sounds like a 5-course meal.
If you're a 17-hour finisher, you're going to get lobster ravioli on your last lap, and then you're going to come back to some sweet Virginia IPA when you finish.
Wow, I'm telling you what, we're going to release this after we get get in the race.
Because I don't think those 5 spots are going to last very long.
There's 4 of us here, so there's 1 spot left.
Yeah, we're not your grandma's, you know, baked potato race, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So when's your next movie? What do you, your guy makes a movie, and
yeah,
then
Miles,
what's
you
gotta
next? You got to do another movie. What are you doing next?
Well, I would love to continue making more documentaries. They're definitely a lot of work. I mean, I will say that even though I finished editing on July 31st, like, I've probably done something involving the film every day since. So it's a major time commitment. And we probably started planning it last March. So it's been about a year. And so right now I'm working on some commercial projects, some branded contracts with some clients, but all surprisingly running related, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, no, I just didn't know the cycle. You know, you dream it up and you film it, you edit it, then you have to, you know, talk about it and go to work letting people know about it. So I didn't know the cycle on something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of other documentaries, and I may be wrong, but I think like Finding Traction, for example, maybe had, if you look at the cast or the crew, you know, behind in the credits, it might be like 30 people long. And if I'm not mistaken, when Nikki Kimball ran that trail, I think it was like 2 years later that maybe the documentary was really kind of in full festival release, maybe on demand too. But so that took a while, but we were about 90 days. And I guess I treat it with the same mentality I would run a 100-miler, that it just, you know, just one constant push. And I want to knock it out of the park. Like, I mean, like, knock it out, get a home run, but I also want to just, you know, be able to put it to rest and enjoy it and share it.
Yeah,
as soon as possible. So
yeah. It sounds like you know, you spent some time locked up in a room getting things done
in the editing cave. Is one way to put it.
Yeah, I've got an editing cave.
Do you have an editing
cave
at your studio, G?
Yeah, I do. It's that broom closet that you walk by.
Oh,
I
that's right.
Spend much time in there. What's next for you,
Robert? Well, my next show coming up is in Walnut Creek. I've got Zach Bitter actually coming up as a special guest. Yeah, he's great.
Yes, he is.
So that's my next show. And then tomorrow, of course, we've got this big race going on up here. Way too cool.
Yeah, you're going to run that.
I hope. In this rain, because it's beautiful out there.
It is coming down like crazy, AJW. I mean, rain like you, biblical. That's what we're talking about.
There's going to be snow on Western states this year, we hope.
Oh, I love it. And you guys are all bitching and moaning about the drought, and now you're complaining about the rain.
No. We're not complaining. we're doing dances.
AJW, you have your race coming up, but you also have Hard Rock coming up. And, you know, I peek at social media, and I see that you're putting in some elevation. You're putting in some hours out there. You're really doing it up.
Yeah. You know what? I'm an old guy, but I still have that thing going.
I did the math, AJW. You're not old at all, because I've seen the time that you're out there, the number of miles and the elevation. You are cranking. There's nothing old about your stats.
Well, and I don't want to. Yeah, I have some plans, but let's put it this way. Graduation is on June 5th, and I'll be out in Silverton by June 7th. So we'll see how that plays out.
But good luck.
I'm not messing around at Hard Rock this year.
AJW, we started the conversation before we hit record, and we mentioned something about a beard, and I didn't get the answer.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
You're not going to grow a beard, AJ. I mean,
have you ever had any facial hair on that baby face of yours?
I've tried four Movembers in a row. I really have. I really have. And I mean, my wife, I love my wife, and we've been married 25 years, and she's like, the smacks get harder every year. So no, I'm not a beard guy.
What if it would improve your performance 15%, like, much like the Cocapelli, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 15%.
You know, I talked to Rob about that when I was out with him and Flag, and he was like, he looked at me and he's like, yeah, I don't think you're a beard guy.
He didn't want the competition. He was scared. Yeah.
That's right. He knew what would happen. That
well, 15%. He also knew I wasn't a 15-hour guy either. So and it wasn't. It's not like he was worried.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, AJW, coming in on the show. We've got you propped up over here on a box and a monitor. So we do have a virtual AJW out here. We appreciate your attendance.
Well, it's good, and we'll get the mic figured out next time, and we absolutely have to do a Western States preview, boys.
Oh, that sounds good. We will.
You're the producer on that one, AJW. You put it together.
I'll hit record.
Yeah, I know, Scotty. You were about to say we'll bring the talent, and you're like,
I wasn't even going down that road.
He knew he couldn't say that, but you can. You are the executive producer on the East Coast, so you'll have to put it all together.
And Robert and Miles, awesome to chat with you guys, and I can't wait to show your film on Thursday night. I know it's going to be a big hit out here in Charlottesville.
Awesome,
thanks so much, Andy.
All right,
yeah, good luck with that.
See you guys.
So just like in Miles' movie, there's a surprise at the end. Yeah. We have a surprise for the nation.
Ooh.
Miles has been generous enough to offer a discount code for anybody that wants to go to... Where do they need to go and what do they need to do, Miles?
Well, you can easily go to thisisyourdayfilm.com or find the film on Vimeo searching This Is Your Day on the on-demand section. And if you enter promo code WEARENATION... I'd like to thank the loyal listeners who've made it this far in the podcast. So thanks so much.
So what do they get by putting that code in?
They're going to get a discount on the purchase of the film for downloading it on demand.
Great.
Now go out and run.
Mas.